by Teen Suicide. And the name of that new album is called Nude Descending Staircase Headless, which is the name of a really awesome Marcel Duchamp painting. So check that out too, so you can be really educated and sound super cool. And before that was God Show Me Magic by Super Furry Animals and Virginia Reel Around the Fountain by the Halo Benders. That's Doug from Built to Spill's other band with the guy from Beat Happening. It's 11 a.m., so that means my show is over. Thank you for tuning into 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. This was The Nest with me, DJ Osprey. You'll hear me next week. That's a promise. Everyone have an awesome week. I hope the weather is super sunny and beautiful.
could only be tuned to WRUV FM Burlington 90.1 on your radio dial.
WRUV FM Burlington.
The radio voice of the University of Vermont, your better alternative.
You are listening to 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. Thanks, as always, for listening.
I saw her sitting in the rain.
Have you ever questioned why gifting flowers is such a common gesture of kindness or love? Well, listen here. Believe it or not, the presence of flowers triggers happy emotions. Their presence also increases the feeling of life satisfaction and positively affects social behavior. A team of researchers from Rutgers conducted a 10-month study that has concluded that flowers are a natural and healthy way to regulate your mood. Dr. Jeanette Haviland-Jones found that flowers have an immediate impact on happiness. All study participants expressed true or excited smiles upon receiving flowers, demonstrating extraordinary delight and gratitude. Flowers have a long-term positive effect on moods. Specifically, study participants reported feeling less depressed, anxious, and agitated after receiving flowers. Flowers make intimate connections. The presence of flowers led to increased contact with family and friends. So, next time you are wondering what to get a loved one or what to bring to a dinner party, bring flowers. They are sure to make the recipient smile. This message is brought to you by your flower-loving DJs here at 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington.
Welcome to In the Mix. We're your hosts, Natalie Richardson-Wymore
and Charlotte King. This episode is part of the Cynic's annual drug issue. But rather than covering weed or drinking, we're diving into the science of skincare.
What are those products really made of? Why can the consumption of them feel so addictive? We're all in the search of perfect skin, but really, is it attainable?
In the social media age of glass skin and get readies with me, who can we trust with, well, our faces?
This episode of In the Mix, Charlotte and I dig deeper to find out if skincare is more than what's on the surface.
Should we take this into the bathroom?
Yeah, let's do it, guys.
Okay. Self-care has been a thing for centuries. Well, over time, it's morphed from simply bathing to the developments of lotions to now TikTok skincare trends. Maintaining the appearance and feel of skin has been of highest importance.
While women's beauty standards have shifted over time, they largely place expectations on being clean, hairless, youthful, and flawless. Beauty trends have also historically promoted lighter skin tones and European features.
The Smithsonian explains how a pale, creamy complexion and smooth, white hands not only signified that one was racially white, they also demonstrated one's wealth by implying that a man, but far more importantly, a woman, did not perform manual labor or work outside in the sun.
While these Eurocentric male gaze beauty standards have shifted over time, we must still acknowledge the effects they have today.
According to the Smithsonian, emphasis on youth has been a focus of skincare since the 1900s. A large component of youthful skin comes from sun protection. However, according to the Smithsonian, sunscreen didn't come around until the 1960s.
Today, there are millions of sunscreen brands. Skincare has become a booming industry, with medical prescriptions, fake products, and brightly colored face masks. As of last year, the global skincare industry was worth over $115 billion U.S. dollars, according to Fortune Business Insights. Many people have become obsessed with this world of skincare.
Hi, my name is Bobby Zimmerman. I'm a sophomore, 2027, at University of Vermont.
He takes pride in his skin and is often noticed for it.
I do get comments quite a lot on my skin. I have a lot of very sweet, lovely people around me who compliment my skin. A lot of people say I have glass skin. That is a quote. I'm not trying to be funny. But I have heard that, actually. I got that compliment today.
We asked Bobby how he got into skincare.
So I started caring about my skin, getting into skincare. When I was in middle school, that was when I first, probably everybody, started getting more insecure than I had been. And I did competitive swimming back then, so I was in chlorine hours and hours a day. My skin was so dry and flaky. It was awful. So I was trying out all these different over-the-counter, Target, going and just buying a bunch of stuff and getting Biore, like, nose pore strips and, like, getting the Neutrogena, like, watery moisturizers. All these, like, very expensive Target things, or even, like, the grocery store sold them. Tried all of those out, and I didn't really notice anything. All the products I use now are directly from my dermatologist or recommended by my dermatologist.
You know, it's hard having a skin condition because other people can see it. Some diseases are more internal and people wouldn't necessarily know you're sick, but, you know, people are often embarrassed or people think they have some sort of contagious skin condition. So dermatologic conditions can be really, really upsetting for people.
That was dermatologist
Dr. Santana Van Dyke. I work here at UVM Dermatology.
We talked to her to find out more about skincare from the professional's point of view.
I'm an assistant professor, and I mostly do general dermatology, but I also specialize in a condition called hidradenitis suppurativa, which is an inflammatory chronic skin condition that causes painful abscesses and scarring primarily in the axilla and groin region.
Back in Bobby's room, we got to delve into his skincare regimen.
I'm cleaning my hands, so I'll wash my hands first and make sure I get all the gunk off. I, like, try to do, like, the scrubbing my fingertips in the backs of my hands. I don't want to, like, I don't really touch my face that much throughout the day, so I try to keep it nice and clean. I'm gonna rinse my face off. So now I do, like, 5 pumps of this, which is, like, I think that was 5. And then I just kind of go in and do little, like, circle motions.
How long do you think you spend in the bathroom every day?
That is a really good question. Oh my god, I don't know if I want that to be on the internet. probably like, people who know me will know the answer. Probably like 2 hours, honestly.
He walked us through his morning and night routines.
Alright, so in the morning, I wash my face in the shower with this Plexion Cleanser face wash. I get out of the shower and I put on clindamycin and benzoyl peroxide gel, which is like 1% and 5% of each of those. And then on top of that, I put on my La Roche-Posay Triple Repair Moisturizing Cream, Lip Car AP Plus. And then on top of that, I put on Elta MD Skincare UV Clear Face Sunscreen. Moisturizer and sunscreen goes down to my neck too, so don't forget your neck. And then at nighttime, it's pretty similar. So I use the same face wash, wash my face, and then I put on my tretinoin, 0.1%.
Bobby explained what he uses clindamycin and benzoyl peroxide gel for.
This is for the clindamycin, and benzoyl peroxide is just for, like, as far as I'm concerned, like acne, like putting on in the morning, treating acne and stuff. And then the tretinoin is basically the same thing, but it also is really good for anti-aging. Like a lot of, like my mom uses it for like wrinkles and stuff like that. So it's supposedly doing that too. Not that I have many wrinkles going on right now.
Dr. Van Dyke expressed her thoughts on Bobby's medicated gel.
So clindamycin and benzoyl peroxide we often use in conjunction with each other because there's some evidence to suggest if you just use clindamycin on its own for acne, you can actually develop bacteria resistance. The thing that I do want people to know about benzoyl peroxide is it can bleach towels and clothing. So I've ruined many t-shirts by saying, oh, I'm not going to get any on my clothing, but it will bleach things out. So you just want to rinse really well.
However, Dr. Van Dyke pointed out a conflict in Bobby's routine.
Another thing I wanted to mention is you don't want to use benzoyl peroxide and tretinoin together because they actually deactivate each other.
She explained what tretinoin is used for.
Tretinoin is a very, very common one that we use. So tretinoin is not only good for acne, it's also good for anti-aging, as well as if people are dealing with some pigment changes. So it is another prescription similar to clindamycin. And it works by increasing cell turnover. So it helps, especially if people have like blackheads and whiteheads, it can be really helpful. And it helps with anti-aging or helps with aging by increasing that cell turnover as well. It can be quite drying. So that's the issue with that one. I often recommend that patients do a gentle oil-free moisturizer before. And tretinoin is actually a nighttime cream. So that's where I find a lot of patients, they'll try to use it as like a morning spot treatment. No. It makes you sensitive to the sun, so that's one reason you don't want to use it in the morning. Also, sunlight can deactivate it, so it won't be as effective if you use it in the morning. And it definitely should not be used as a spot treatment, because a lot of times what happens is people will put too much on one spot and then you get a lot of dryness and irritation.
Bobby echoes Dr. Van Dyke's recommended use of tretinoin.
But it does, like, do its job, and it's not like spot treatments, so you kind of just put it everywhere and then it just kind of, it does whatever it does. It does its thing. Whatever its thing is. No, I'm kidding. It does its job.
So the best way to use it is at night. I recommend using an oil-free moisturizer before, and then you just use a little pea-sized amount and you rub it all over your face.
So now I'm just getting like a pea-sized amount of the tretinoin or tretinoin. I kind of switched the pronunciation, honestly. And then I'll like spread this evenly around my face.
Understanding the science behind skincare is one thing. Both Bobby and Dr. Van Dyke pointed out the social implications of the industry and how it affects the consumer.
Oh, absolutely. We live in a world where we have so much information, and the people providing the information don't always know what they're talking about, unfortunately. So yes, I have a lot of people coming in like, oh, I saw this on TikTok. What do you think about this? And sometimes the things are fine, and I feel like they're going to be relatively harmless. And some people, you know, if someone's like, I feel like this really works well for my skin, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm like, great, I'm glad you found something you like. If I'm worried that something is doing damage, then I'm like, I don't think this is the best treatment for you.
Bobby agreed with Dr. Van Dyke's sentiment that skincare is specific to each person.
I also feel like it's what people feel like works for them. Like maybe you use like a face wash that's like totally random, or like a pink bottle or something, and it's like super fun, but if it works for your skin, that's all that really matters.
Dr. Van Dyke comments on the impacts of social media on self-confidence.
But one thing I've seen the most, just as social media has become more and more popular, is people expecting to have perfect skin. And I've had people come in and they're like, I just want to look like the girls on Instagram, you know? And I'm like, the girls on Instagram don't look like that. It's all filters and Photoshop.
People who use like The Ordinary, I feel like a lot of like influencers I follow are like putting The Ordinary drops on their face and like slugging and doing all this stuff. And I think like they are doing that. That probably works for them. But I'm also like, how many other treatments are they getting that's like going along with that?
Dr. Van Dyke explained how social media, skincare culture, impacts her work.
I think our brains are so used to seeing perfect skin. If there's any imperfection on ourselves, we tend to focus on that. And that's really unfortunate. So especially in my younger patients, I mean, I have patients who I feel like have body dysmorphia because they're so fixated on the fact they have pores. We all have pores. It's good to have pores. We can't get rid of pores. So just having them take a step back and be like, no one's skin looks airbrushed. Even the people who appear that way on the internet. So it's been tough. I feel like, especially for young girls and young women, especially.
Especially like, oh my gosh, obviously everybody's seen the TikTok Get Ready With Me's where it's like the 14-year-old girls putting all this stuff on their face. Like, you don't need to be doing all of that. And also that's so expensive and like not even good for you to be putting all of that stuff on. So
both Bobby and Dr. Van Dyke also see this issue as a problem of overconsumption.
I think there's so much information out there, and everyone's like, use this, use this, use this. And there sometimes isn't good information about when do you use this? What is this for? What products can you use together? So I often see people using too many things. So for instance, using a